All right, we are back. I'm Janine. You're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. This is Get the Funk Out, and standing by to join me is Lucy Antek Johnson, and we're going to talk about her new book, This Was Toscanini, The Maestro, My Father and Me, and it was originally written by her father, and Lucy has carried on this tradition, beautiful stories, beautiful pictures. There's actually an audiobook out she's going to talk about. And if you visit the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org, you can read more about it and see some pictures. And she's joining us right now. Good morning, Lucy.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, my pleasure.
Congratulations, and how does it feel to have this book out in the world?
Well, it's... it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling because it's a tribute to not only one of the most famous musicians in the world, but to my dad, who wrote it. And I feel that after all these decades, he and I, in some wonderful, strange way, have formed a whole new relationship, and I know he's smiling down at me from somewhere. Mm. So I'm very proud of the results.
I love that. I was thinking about how music was so embedded in your life from the time you were really young. Could you talk about, like, your first memory of maybe your dad with music?
Well, as you mentioned, I grew up in a home filled with music. My father was a first violinist with the NBC Symphony, which was created for and conducted by Arturo Toscanini, one of the greatest musicians of his generation. And this orchestra was formed under the banner of RCA, which was the NBC radio network mother. Mm-hmm. And my father was there from day one till the retirement 17 years later. So in my home, where other kids' dads went to the office during the day, my dad was practicing and rehearsing, and then in a concert hall at night. So my memories are very clear about tiptoeing past the living room, closed living room doors, as he was practicing for that evening's performance or an upcoming recording session, and listening to him. And then I would just peek into the crack in the door and watch him. And it was just, it's a very strong memory. And later on, when he also became a symphony conductor, along with keeping his seat as a first violinist with NBC, he would let me sit next to him at the piano as he worked through a score. Mm. And the pages and pages of musical score would be opened up, showing all the parts from the, if there was a chorus, and all the different parts of the orchestra. And I had never seen anything like that before. It was the first time I think I was aware of how much coordination it took to put a concert together or a piece or play something by Beethoven. Mm. I studied piano as well. I was never pressured, but everyone else did it in the family, so would I. And my mother was an amateur pianist as well. So, yeah, the house was filled with music and under great influence of the maestro, Toscanini, whose picture sat on our piano in those days. And to this day, the same piano has the same photograph.
So. Oh, I love that. I love that you talked about your mom. There's a beautiful picture of you, your mom, and your dad. And I was reading just how talented she was. She could just play just about anything.
She was extremely talented and played a lot of piano by ear, which I have never learned to do. So she could easily switch from a Chopin etude to Rodgers and Hammerstein, and it was a natural talent for her, and she would be invited to accompany my dad and some of the other string players from the orchestra when they would come over on Sunday afternoons for, informal music house. Mm-hmm. And she was also a very, very fine artist. So I ended up having a number of talents myself. And even though professionally I didn't follow them up as a career, I went into television production, sure. I still utilize those natural talents and abilities. I still paint.
That's great.
And so I'm very blessed.
That's beautiful. I can tell you had such a special bond with your dad, and there's several pictures of your father. I love the one, you're so little, you must be, what, two? And you have your hand on his cheek?
Yeah, yeah.
So precious.
I know exactly which my hand is on his face.
Yes, yes. Yeah. What was the process like putting this book together? Because I know your dad had crafted this book, but then you added your own perspective.
Well, he had crafted many, many articles and essays in the days of the NBC Symphony, which had been published in many magazines at that time. He was often commissioned to write articles. What is it really like to work with Maestro Toscanini? Because what everyone has to recall or know, if for the first time, Toscanini was a superstar in his day. He was a rock star. Mm-hmm. And he sold out auditoriums and arenas all around the world when he gave a concert. So when he came to America after being persecuted by Mussolini and the fascists, and he left Italy and moved to America to accept this invitation, he was 70 years old. Mm. And so that alone was something to behold. And he was a strong conductor of that orchestra till he retired at age 87. So in the course of that time, my dad, who I think also was a very natural writer, wrote these articles and wrote some essays. And then after the orchestra disbanded, he was approached by a publisher. So it got published with these iconic, now iconic photographs. Of course, then they were not known. And they had been taken all through the years of rehearsals and recording sessions. Presumably, Toscanini didn't know they were being taken. So they're very much of the moment and not posed for. That book came out to terrific reviews and has become a staple and a classic in its own right, even from decades ago, because it was the only, then and now, the only first, the only full-length narrative from the point of view of a musician who was playing with Toscanini.
Yeah.
Years later, a few years ago, and of course, you know, I had the book around me all these years, but it was an anniversary of Toscanini's birth. It was his 150th birthday. And many, many articles were written about his legacy and the impact that he had on the musical world. And I said, you know, I'm going to sit down and reread my dad's book. I haven't read it for 30 years. And I was blown away because I had forgotten, I had been a teenager at the time when it came out, I had totally forgotten what a good writer he was and how he brought us into his experience as though we were sitting in the orchestra with him, working with the maestro. So the book, from many different angles of my father's chapters, is a behind-the-scenes experience of working with a great artist. It is not a biography, and it's my father's behind the scenes, peek behind the curtain experience of music making. Yeah. And when I read this again, I said, this is timeless.
Yes.
Listen, great art is timeless. There's nothing, that can't be applied to today. And even though Toscanini might not be at the front of everyone's mind, he is still a forerunner of many things which are utilized today in the musical world. And I said, I've got to reissue this. But what I'm going to do is also add my own recollections that will be introductions to each of the original chapters, along with some more family photographs, I will add my impressions of what it was like to grow up in that musical home that was also so influenced by Arturo Toscanini. And that's what I did with the hardcover book.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful marriage, I think, of exquisite photographs that illustrate the text. They're not, it's not just a bunch of photographs in the middle of a book. And it illustrates along the way what is being talked about in the text. And that's what I republished a couple of years ago with an added title. And the new edition is This Was Toscanini, the Maestro, My Father, and Me. I'm the Me. And just this year, I put out the audiobook version.
I love that.
So it's had quite a long life.
I want to mention that the audiobook is available really wherever you get your audiobooks. At Audible, Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer, and more. The book is put out by Brown Books. And if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Lucy Antek Johnson, whose book, This Was Toscanini, The Maestro, My Father, and Me, is out now. Originally written by her father, Samuel Antek, and the book hit the shelves on June 4th, 2024. Fantastic. For people who don't know, I put some information up on my show blog about Toscanini. I learned this as well. I didn't know this. He really conducted entirely from memory. He was nearsighted from childhood. He memorized hundreds of intricate operas, symphonies, concertos, and then in performance and often in rehearsals as well, he led without ever consulting the score. He began, I think it was, age 9 as a cellist? And
yeah.
He was born in 1867. Didn't he conduct his first performance at 19?
Yes, he was a trained cellist. He was a first cellist. And then at 19, he was on a tour through South America with an Italian opera company, a rep company, and the conductor fell ill. And Toscanini said, I know everything in the repertoire. I can do this. I can conduct this. I can help you through the tour. And that was the beginning. He never looked back. And he became, a greater and greater and greater musician and conductor and respected for his operas as well as his classical music repertoire. It's a little bit misleading that he never looked at a score, because his great passion and his something he would repeat all the time to musicians that he worked with was, look to the score. Let us honor completely what the composer intended. Mm-hmm. If you memorize everything and just play from memory, you're not playing from the heart.
Yes.
So even though he had this ability and could recall very easily where he was, he was very, very cognizant and paid very close attention to the markings of the composer, especially during a rehearsal. So they worked closely with a score because of the markings that had to be honored. Now, then it becomes an interpretation. How loud is fortissimo, how soft is pianissimo? That's the conductor's mm-hmm. creative interpretation of the composer's intention. But that was what he was most known for, was how closely he honored and respected and tried to stick to the original markings of the composer.
I see.
So he did encourage the musicians to look to the score, but play from your heart.
That's wonderful. I also read that he didn't have much expression when he, as far as like joy, is that correct, when he was performing?
Well, his past, it didn't show on his face mm-hmm. as easily as you might think,
yeah.
or as we're now used to when we see more current contemporary conductors. First of all, there's television, that they know they're on television.
Sure.
But he was so focused. He was all about the music, and he was hearing in his mind's ear, I guess you would say, how something should be. And he would try to elevate the musician's work that he was working with. The orchestra was his instrument, basically, to also learn to hear what they were playing. Listen to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Don't just play from rote. So he was very focused. There are some wonderful YouTube videos that come from a couple of documentaries that were made about him, or that from the television concerts in the late 40s, early 50s, where there are lots of close-ups of him. And he's not stern necessarily, but he's not showing the expressions that, as I said, we've kind of become used to seeing when you see something on television.
Sure. I want to mention something. There's a wonderful picture of your dad surrounded by young children. And it's just the joy on their faces. I think they're asking your dad for autographs. Could you talk about that picture?
Oh, I know it very well. I was off on the wings as those pictures were being taken. He created what we now know as children's concerts, long before Leonard Bernstein, I might add. And his when he was a music director and conductor of the New Jersey Symphony, he created a series called for children to listen to. And he would talk to the audience, he would play. It was very interactive. And that scheme, he was invited around the country to introduce children's concerts to other orchestras. And he became one of the directors of all children's concerts of the Philadelphia Orchestra at the time. Mm-hmm. So, yes, he was adored by these kids, as well as me, but I was off in the wings waiting for him to get off the stage. But he was always surrounded because he had a very outgoing, warm, inviting style about himself, and it was infectious. And he would play and describe pieces that were easily absorbed by the kids, whether it's John Philip Sousa or the Syncopated Clock or something like that. And in the audio book, I was able to include a segment from one of his children's concerts where he's talking to the audience. Because we can't do photographs in audio, of course, I had to find another way to illustrate the text. And I use NBC recordings, excerpts from NBC performances, NBC Symphony performances, throughout the book to not only give it the right tone, but you're hearing what my dad is talking about, is then you get a chance to hear a little bit of it. So it brings to life the music with proper narration that they're very, very different from the printed book because the narration comes alive and it also has musical excerpts to bring the experience to you.
Outstanding. Do you feel that putting this book together, you're changed in some way?
Yes. No one's ever asked me that. Thank you for asking me that.
You're welcome.
As an adult woman, I was able to form a new relationship to my father and appreciate him as a man, as a dad, and as a musician the way I could not have done as a younger person. He died very young.
Very young.
I was 12. He was 49. Mm-hmm. And so I lost him. The world lost a great musician, but I lost my hero. So he stayed in a very singular place all these years. And until I really did a deep dive into the research and the photographs and the letters and the articles to put my essays together to marry to his narrative and his memoir, because it's really a memoir within a memoir. Yeah. Only then did I come to totally embrace and appreciate what a gift he had been to me personally, but also to the music world. Mm. And then he in his narrative brings Toscanini alive, and I, in my introductions, am able to put a bit of a more spotlight on my dad's career, which in his own book he doesn't do for himself. he's focused on the music and the behind-the-scenes creative process. So, yes, it was reaffirming to me in many ways and brought me full circle to him in a three-dimensional way that I hadn't really experienced before.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that.
Certainly.
Where can people find out more about you and this book?
Well, I, as you mentioned, the hardcover book, which is gorgeous, and some people have used it as a companion piece to the audiobook because you're looking at pictures and listening to music at the same time, is available on, you know, obviously Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and you could ask your local bookseller. The audiobook also, as you mentioned, is on all audio platforms. But if you want to go to my website, which is lucyantechjohnson.com, mm-hmm. that will take you to a more broad picture with beautiful photographs also and a sample from the audiobook, a five-minute sample. So the person who visits there can get a taste of what I did in the audio that wasn't able to do with the hardcover printed version. So Lucy Antek Johnson, A-N-T-E-K, lucyantechjohnson.com.
Fantastic. By the way, in the chapter coda, there's a picture of your dad. How close to his, how old was he here?
Is that with him and Toscanini?
No, he's, he's holding, looks like he's taken his tie off. And he's smiling.
Oh, he's coming out of a concert. Yes, I'm looking at the original right now.
Okay.
He would be 47.
Okay.
46, 47, 48. Mm-hmm. And he's coming off stage from conducting probably the New Jersey Symphony.
Yes.
More likely.
Yes.
And he's sweating. He's pouring with sweat.
Yeah.
And a glow on his face. That's my favorite photograph.
Oh, I love it.
Because he loved what he was doing.
Yeah.
And he knew how to communicate that joy. So, yes, that's a very, very favorite photo.
It's beautiful. I cannot believe that Toscanini died, what is it, the same month, and it was, he lived to be 89. It was almost a year to the day after your father, right?
Before,
yes.
Yes. It was just one of those incredible things. As close as they had worked for 17 years and as friendly, I suppose you would say, it's not like they were joined at the hip. Toscanini was very social. He might have been very stern sometimes in rehearsals, but he was very social, and he was very pleased and proud of what my father had written mm-hmm. in the articles that had been published. Believe it or not, for a man of Toscanini's stature and power and fame, he was very shy.
Really?
And he didn't love looking at pictures of himself, and he was very hesitant to read articles about himself. But he had heard about and then read the article that got mm-hmm. ultimately made into what is now the first chapter called Playing with Toscanini, and he was so appreciative and congratulated my dad, which meant so much. And the other thing that meant so much to my father is that when my father became a relatively well-known conductor before his early death, Toscanini gave him the baton to the NBC Symphony and said, "Here, I want you to guest conduct a few concerts."
Wow.
Well, that was the crowning touch of respect and appreciation. So
that
there was
beautiful.
A great, this book as a whole becomes, and I say it at the end, a tribute to two musicians whose paths fortuitously crossed.
Beautiful.
And who each was able to follow their dream of making beautiful music. And that was each of their goals. I mean, that was Toscanini's primary goal.
Amazing.
And the fact that they died within a year of each other is just kind of an amazing
It really is.
Coincidence, of course, but it kind of ties it all up for me.
It sure does. Well, Lucy, I don't mean to cut you short, but we do have to
wrap.
I want to thank you so much for calling in. I've been speaking with Lucy Antek Johnson about her father's original book that she took it to the next level. It's called This Was Toscanini, The Maestro, My Father, and Me. It's available as an audiobook wherever you get your audiobooks, Audible, Spotify, really anywhere. And the book is out now, and all the information is on my show blog. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. This has been a pleasure talking with you.
You too. Be well.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Ciao. That was a wonderful conversation. I'll have this up as a podcast within the next half an hour. If you go back to the show blog, it'll be there. GetTheFunkOutShow.KUCI.org. Up next, SoCal New Waver is on with Pass Forward, and that's a wrap for me. I'll be back next Wednesday. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.